The time is 1:46. You're listening to Detroit Today on WDET. Good Tuesday afternoon. I'm Craig Folley.
And I'm Quinn Kleinfelder. It's no secret that the city of Detroit was changed by the rioting, some say the rebellion, that developed during the hot summer of 1967. A new book of fiction examines that time in a new light through the eyes of a fictitious Jewish shop owner near the roads Grand River and Joy Road. Joining us now is the author of that book, Grand River and Joy, Susan Messer. And Susan, thank you for the time. So when you're looking at that time period in Detroit's history, why choose a Jewish shop owner as your protagonist?
I've been interested for a long time in the role of the Jewish shop owner and landlord in black neighborhoods, and the relationship of Jewish and black populations in cities, the way they've moved around each other. So that was one reason. Another reason is autobiographical, which is that I grew up in Detroit, and I'm Jewish, and my father did own a business near Grand River and Joy during that era.
Is it based in many ways on your father?
I suppose somebody could say that it was, but I usually tell readers not to get too preoccupied with the autobiographical aspects, because then you miss a lot of the other elements in the book.
Well, this is dealing with a very seminal time in Detroit's history, the riots that many people have talked about, or the rebellion, depending who you talk about.
Yes.
Many people have looked at that particular time in Detroit's history. I don't know how many have used fiction to try and deal with it, a fictional work involved in a very real situation with many real details.
Mm-hmm.
Why take the fictional look at it?
Well, I'm a fiction writer, and...
Well, that's a good reason, number one.
Yeah, I've written essays as well as short stories, and this is my first novel. That's just an enormous question about why write fiction at all. Of course, you know.
It gives you a little bit more leeway, I would think.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And if you've read the book, you know that you can put people and places sort of wherever you want. But with historical fiction, you tread a fine line because you need to be sufficiently accurate and grounded in the historical realities that you don't put people off. I mean, you wouldn't want to say that Grand River intersects with a street that it really doesn't intersect with, because then people who know Detroit are sort of brought out of the fictional dream. So you need to be accurate, but as a fiction writer, my interest is emotional truth. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a historian. I wanted to understand about what happened to people, and so fiction is a good vehicle for getting to emotional truth.
And as you went through the book, as you wrote it, what were the emotional truths that you were finding?
Well, I guess I would say that our lives are sort of a balance of gains and losses, that how we see life is a matter of where we're looking and what perspective we have. And you see that theme in, I'll just say that my chapters all have one-word titles for one chapter, and that's riot/rebellion. And by titling the chapter that way, I wanted to show that it depends how you see it, depends and how what you call it, depends on your perspective. That some people might see what happened in 1967 in July in Detroit as sort of random thuggery, whereas others might see it as having more political intentionality. And then many way stops along the way, and I didn't want to be the one to make that decision because I believe that perspective determines everything.
You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET, and we're talking with author Susan Messer, who has a new book, Grand River and Joy, talking about the 1967 rebellion or riot, depending on who you talk to, in the city of Detroit. Susan, when you were picking what particular aspects you wanted to look at, what particular scenes you wanted to set in the book, being a work of fiction, as we've just said, you had a little bit of leeway in what you could pick. There were a couple of interesting things. The shop owner is actually furnishing kind of a lounge in his basement for a son who has a lot of drug paraphernalia, Black Panther literature, just a juxtaposition of him with Harry, the protagonist. That's one thing that you decided to put in and choose. Why choose that? What were you trying to show about what was happening in Detroit at that time?
Well, you're talking about Alvin. He's the teenager who lives upstairs from Harry. That's Harry's tenant. Well, because I believe that this was a point of view that could be represented and should be represented in the book, so I wanted Harry to discover that point of view in an unusual way, in a way that would be more personal than if he read about it in the paper or heard about it from a neighbor, one of the other business owners. I wanted him to come face to face with it in a personal way, to be intimately engaged with some of the ideas that were circulating in the community among Black people.
When I've talked to people who were there at the time, they will talk about the sad state of race relations and how it was deteriorating at that particular point in time. You deal with that right off the bat. You have a racial slur written on Harry's shop, and that kind of sets the overall tone for the whole book. Mm-hmm. Again, why pick that particular scene? What was it? Just to show, hey, race relations are pretty bad at this particular time?
Well, again, I wanted Harry to come face to face with what some of the forces at work in the world around him. The book begins on Halloween, and Harry. And the first few pages are all about the routine. He works with his sister. They have their the kind of routine that we all have: the commute to work, the left turn, the right turn, the pulling up in the alley, parking the car, unlocking the doors. But because it's a work of fiction, and a work of fiction is about dramatic tension, that the routine is going to be interrupted. And in this case, the routine is interrupted by discovering this slur has been soaped on his front window. Now it's Halloween, and I have many reasons for beginning the book on Halloween, but one of them has to do with the fact that the night before Halloween has special significance in Detroit. That's Devil's Night, which in that era, the 60s, was still a relatively innocent time with window soaping, doorbell ringing, minor mischief. So I want it to resonate in that sense. This is a relatively innocent time, Harry is a man who, like all of us, because life has always gone on this way, we sort of expect it to go on this way, but sooner or later something happens, and for Harry, it has to do with all this turmoil that's developing around him that he's been trying not to see, and there it is right in front of him, and he's still trying not to see it in a way and to dismiss it, but eventually, of course, he won't be able to dismiss it anymore.
When someone puts this book down, then, if they go and get it, what would you hope a reader will come away with after they've gone through the entire thing?
Well, thank you for asking that question, because I'll just tell you that in the course of my research for this book, I had to learn about how steam boilers work, because there's a whole chapter that takes place in Harry's basement that has to do with a steam boiler breaking down. And in order to write about that, I needed to learn how a boiler works, what it, if it breaks, what it would smell like, sound like, feel like. And that was quite a challenge. But I found a website where boiler guys go to discuss their boiler issues. And I posted a little notice there saying, novelist needs realistic details about steam boilers. And these guys all, like, responded with great gusto. And the proprietor of heatinghelp.com, turns out, is an extremely, here was an assumption I made about what a steam, what a boiler guy would be like, but the guy who's the proprietor is very literary, and he posts the reading list on his website, and there you'll find Faulkner and Tolstoy and Dreiser and Saramago, you know, the greats of literature. And so I asked him if he would like to read my book, because they had all been so helpful, these, and he said, yes, he would love to. So he read my book, and he wrote to me when he finished, and he said, I've just finished your book, and I'm hugging it to my chest. And in an ideal world, that is the response. I mean, that's about as ideal a response as I can imagine.
Did he tell you why? Why he was hugging it to his chest? What he enjoyed about it?
He wrote me a very long email, actually, but it was the characters who stayed with him and their journeys and their humanity and the feelings that it roused in him.
And we appreciate your taking the time to talk about how you put those characters in there, what feelings you were hoping to try to rouse. Thank you for the time. Susan Messer is the author of Grand River and Joy, a new book that could perhaps give you a new take on the 1967 riot or rebellion, if you are looking for that, or maybe even give you a little bit of instruction in how to fix steam boilers.